other night I was doing some channel surfing again because there was nothing on, you know. What do you have? Oh, 400 channels. What's on? Nothing. And I was channel surfing through, and I thought, I just asked myself a question. Okay, don't turn it off. Keep going through and see if you can find one program that is not based upon sin. And I couldn't do it. Now, we know in 2 Timothy 3, so let's turn there. And I appreciate the comment in the opening prayer that God will see us through all the difficulties, because there are plenty of them there. And so even though we find all these things transpiring, like it says here in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and I was thinking of this when I was doing the channel surfing. So, and I wonder what the Apostle Paul would have said if he lived in the time when we have television and things like we have now. Oh, I bet some of his epistles would have really been scorchers indeed. Verse 1, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And think of all the perils that we face every single day. I mean, just today, those who were coming to Sabbath services were delayed because of some terrible accident on the highway. Now here's the cause of everything. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of self. And you can take that, and that adds up to an awful lot of sin and arrogance and wretchedness of other people. Lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And I don't think Paul really had any grasp of how bad the disobedience to parents is. I've been reading a book, and I'm at church at home, I'm doing a short series on From Adolescence to Adulthood. And she makes the case, Diane West, who wrote the book, that when they started separating out teenagers and they had money without working, see, that's what's wrong with kids today. They can't even clean their own rooms. I remember someone showing me a picture of a room all messed up, hung up on the door. And it said, this is my mess. Keep out. See. And then along came the extension telephone. Now we've got cell phones. You're available anywhere at any time. Okay. Lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy. Boy, that is sure true. Now, you tie this in with what we covered before. We won't go there, but just put it in your notes. Isaiah, the fifth chapter, where have all the woes. Woe to you when you set house to house and field to field, you know, all live in the cities. Without natural affection, implacable slanderers, without self-control, savage despisers of those who are good. And this is the kind of society that we have to live in. Betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And all you have to do is watch all the sports. I mean, I never saw so many sports as I was channel surfing. There was football training. There was all kinds of baseball because it's baseball season. There was soccer. There was boxing. There was wrestling. There was golf. There was auto racing. Did I miss any? Huh?
Basketball.
Oh, yeah, basketball. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We get giants who are so good that they can stand up there and throw the ball through the round circle. My, and get paid millions. Okay? Having an outward appearance of godliness, but denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from all these. This is one of the things we have to do to keep our sanity. Now, come over here to Revelation 14 and verse 12. Now, in spite of all of this, there are people who are seeking after God. In spite of all this, there are those who are of the Church of God in the world today. Now, the world doesn't know us, and it's hard to find us. You look at us on the street, we might seem not quite as modern as the ones walking around, but nevertheless, you couldn't tell us from other people. Okay? Now, it says right here, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God. Now, that's how you tell. And just think, because we keep the Sabbath from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, think how much trouble this keeps us out of. And likewise with the children. And likewise with the youth. Don't be complaining because you can't go out on Friday night because it's the Sabbath. Be thankful you're not sucked into the vortex of what Satan has to offer. Now notice there's a little and. The faith of Jesus Christ. Now, keep is the verb which belongs to both of the phrases that follow. Keep the commandments of God and keep the faith of Jesus, and as we have covered, that's the faith we are to have. So when the world is out here seeking its own, doing its own, puffing up everybody, all kinds of vanity, all kinds of anti-God things going on, what are we to be doing? How are we to keep our minds, and how are we to keep our sanity when the world is going insane? Now, that's a tall order indeed. It takes, you have to have faith, you have to believe in God, you have to have conviction of mind, you have to have conviction in everything that you do, because the whole world is against you. So let's come back here to Matthew, the fifth chapter. So here is part of the commandments and faith of Jesus Christ. Matthew, the fifth chapter. And we've gone through the first two of the Beatitudes. And so this is number two in From Faith to Faith. Your faith toward God, Christ's faith back to you, and it's always an ongoing thing from you to God and God to you, from you to God, God to you, and toward each other, in helping and serving and praying and doing those things. Okay? So we've covered, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now notice every single one of these things are attitudes that we supply some of it, but God supplies most of it because these are spiritual characteristics. Okay? Poor in spirit and meek, which we'll cover here today, are very similar, but it helps expand things out so that we know what kind of people that we need to be and what kind of attitudes that we need to have. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, we come for this one, we'll begin with verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now stop and think about it. How much do you own now? Okay? Now it also talks about in Romans the 8th chapter that we're co-heirs with Christ. So what we're going to find is the earth is the down payment for the rest of eternity. So the stakes are really high, aren't they? Okay? Now let's look at some other scriptures and follow up on this. Since we're here in Matthew, let's come to Matthew 11, and let's see what Jesus said about himself. Now, here we can see that meekness comes from our attitude of not lifting ourselves up and become braggadocio and thinking how great we are, or any of those things, or egocentric or narcissistic. The ones who are narcissistic always blame someone else for everything that happens. It's never their fault. Now notice what Jesus said here. He said, beginning in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are overly burdened." Boy, and I tell you, in this world, in the modern age, we all labor and we're overly burdened with many, many things. "And I will give you rest." Now, question, what is the rest of God? The Sabbath. So as we keep the Sabbath, we get peace and we get tranquility and we are settled because of keeping the Sabbath. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." So meekness comes from God. And think how meek and how humble and how yielded that Jesus had to be in order to divest himself of being God, to become a human being and be born of the Virgin Mary. So every time you get to thinking that, oh, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've given up this and I've given up that, okay, stop yourself and ask the question, how much did God give up for you? How much did Jesus give up for you? Now, that'll help you get your bearings. See? "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Because the biggest difficulty today, is, especially with the war on terror, people live in fear. People are anxious. Look at all the medications that people take. Look at all the upset lives that there are. Terrible situation. That's the way that it is there, okay? Okay, let's come to John the 16th chapter for just a minute, because here's a very interesting verse. Now, when you read all the way through John 14 and 15 and 16, and read all the things that Jesus said, now we cover all of this every year on the Passover night. So he said, verse 33, I like this one here. Anytime you think things are really getting tough for you. Now, this is what he said just before his final prayer and just before he was arrested to be taken off and beaten and crucified. He said, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." So we're going to have difficulties. That's all part of what life is about. "But be courageous." Was he courageous? Yes, he was. Was he also meek? Yes, he was. Meek doesn't mean that you're milquetoast, okay? Meek means that you're not filled with your own self. You are not filled with, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do the other thing. "But be courageous," and courage comes from faith, and courage comes from God. "I have overcome the world," so we don't have to worry about a thing. Now let's go back and see the foretype of Christ, who was Moses. Let's see what it said about Moses. Let's come to Numbers 11. Now, did Moses have to go through a lot of things with the children of Israel? Yes, he did. Numbers 11. Okay. No, actually 12. Numbers 12. Okay. Now here is one of the, even from Miriam and Aaron. Now, you would think that at least Aaron would have been halfway decent. And Miriam. "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had taken, for he had taken a Cushite woman." Now, Josephus says that this happened when Egypt conquered Ethiopia. The peace pact was that you marry a princess of Ethiopia, and that guaranteed the suzerainty of the kingship. Okay? So she was there with him. "And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Sound like a lot of arguments today, right? Yes. "Has he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek. Why? Because he had God's Spirit. "More than all the men on the face of the earth." Well, you know what happened. God took care of that real quick-like, didn't he? Yes, he did. So what does this show us? This shows us God will fight for us. because we yield to God, and we are meek. We're not presumptuous. We're not arrogant. What did Jesus say when the Pharisees came to him and said, "Now, what are you doing healing on the Sabbath? You're breaking the Sabbath." You know, and a lot of Protestants believe that that's how he did away with the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. But that's not true. The Greek word there translated in the King James from in that account, the Greek word is luo, which means to loose. So the man that he healed could pick up his bedroll and walk. Okay? And Jesus said, "I say nothing of myself. I do nothing from me, out from me." That's why he was meek. He always relied on God the Father. Now we rely on God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that's where the meekness comes. That doesn't mean we're weak. It doesn't mean we don't stand up. It doesn't mean we're not courageous. It means we are meek because we're looking to God. Now, let's come to the book of Psalms. We're going to see quite a few psalms here. Let's come to Psalm, 37. Psalm 37, and here's where we get to quote, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Psalm 37. All right, let's begin here in verse 1. This is especially true for today. "Do not fret yourself because of evildoers." Don't be jealous of them. Don't be anxious because of them. Don't be envious because of them. Don't get frustrated because of them. All you have to do is remember. What happened to Elvis Presley? What happened to Michael Jackson? What happened to the great heroes of different sports? What happened to some of the Hollywood so-called stars? Okay? What happened to the Wall Street bankers? Well, a lot of them yet have to be caught. Okay? "And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord," that's where meekness comes from, "and do good, dwell in the land, and cherish faithfulness." So you see how all of these things tie together. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, have you ever just said something to yourself, just sort of a fleeting thought and kind of a passing thing in your mind? You said, "Oh, well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?" And later you found it came to pass? I mean, think about that. That's in the last part of Ephesians, the third chapter, that he is able to give us above all that we ask or think. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, if you're seeking God and doing the things that he wants, the desires of your heart are going to be right. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. And what is the desire of our heart, the greatest desire that he's going to give us? Eternal life and the kingdom of God. "Commit your way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he will bring it to pass." Doesn't tell you how, but he's going to. Doesn't tell you when, but he will. "And he shall bring forth your righteousness like the light, and your judgment like the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger," that means also bitterness, "forsake wrath, do not fret yourself," so there it is three times. It only leads to evil, because you do and say things you really don't want to do. Okay, let's continue on. Now remember this, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It is but a little while, and the wicked shall be no more," especially in our day. "You shall diligently consider his place, but he shall not be there. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So you see, look at how the Old Testament and the New Testament are all one together. Okay, let's continue on. Let's come here to Psalm 25, just back a couple of pages here. And when we get the Psalms finished editing, then we will put out a new CD that will have the Psalms, the Proverbs, and the Book of Job all on there. And those are really great. The Psalms and Proverbs are great, as well as the Book of Job. Okay, Psalm 25, verse 1. Notice how our attitude needs to be. Now you see, you watch this. If you don't pray and if you don't study, what happens? Things don't go so good. What is the message from God? Don't do that. Now, I've talked to a lot of people who are what you would say, they fall into the backsliding category. That when there were troubles in the church, because they watched and followed men too much, they just quit. They just stopped. But God wasn't done with them. Shows you how great God is. He wasn't done with them. And I get letters and emails all the time. Oh, I'm so glad to find my way back to God. See? And of course, then you have the parable of the prodigal son, correct? Was he welcome back? Yes. But just like the prodigal son, you have to repent. Now, here's one of the Psalms that will keep us in the right attitude continually toward God. Verse 1, Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none who wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Now here's what's going to happen when you have that kind of attitude. And here's how it will work when you're studying the Bible. You'll be reading and studying the Bible and studying along. And a light goes on. You make a connection. Now this happened to me the other day. I had been reading and studying about Peter. You know, Peter never went to Rome and so forth. And Jesus said, the one who exalts himself shall be abased. And so I was reading there where Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has wanted all of you. Okay? But I have prayed that your faith will be strengthened, not fail. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. That's all the rest of the apostles. Then what did Peter say? Peter didn't say thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for that. No. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to the death and the jail. So he exalted himself over Christ, didn't he? See? And it dawned on me that's what he did. See? So how did Jesus abase him? He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, Lord, I'll never do that. And then you read in the account in Luke where he was there in the high priest's house where they were going through the preliminary judgment with Jesus, and the different ones came up and said, you're one of them. No, I'm not. Another one came up and said, yes, you are one of them. No, I am not. And then the third one came up and said, you are one of them because even your speech tells us you're one of them. And he denied it and began to curse and swear. The cock crowed. And the account Luke said, Jesus looked at him. So they met eyeball to eyeball. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Okay? Okay, so verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Not our way. We don't come along and say, oh, God, I got a great idea. This must be from you. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Test it out. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That's why we have Bible study. And who is the way? Jesus is. Lead me in your truth and teach me. See, because we need to understand how evil and wicked that our human minds are, and that they've got to be converted and cleansed and changed and reprogrammed. And that's a whole lifelong thing. You go along and everything's going good for a while. Have you ever had something really great happen? And you were really happy about it. Everything was great. And then the next day you turn around and commit a real big blooper. Boom. Yes, that's God's way of letting you know, don't get lifted up. Okay? Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day long. Now you see, after all these good psalms and everything that David did he have his big blooper? Yeah, it was more like a landslide, wasn't it? Yeah. Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, and he figured he's going to make it right his own way? Question. I wonder how much prayer and study he was doing during that time. All right. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they have been of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners the way. How's he going to do it? What's the attitude we need to have? Verse 9, the meek. After all of this, it shows who he's going to deal directly with. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. Now, what's going to happen then? Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, that shows us what meekness is really all about. That's something. Okay, let's come here to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Now, you have the book of Zechariah, the last of the prophets. Then you have Haggai. Then you have Zephaniah. So as you go backwards in the Bible, you will get there. Zephaniah 2. Okay? Now notice, this shows us in the end time how important it is to have the strength of godly meekness. Verse 1, Zephaniah 2. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree is brought forth and the day passes like the chaff, before the fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. What's he saying here? Don't wait for trouble to come in your life to call out to God. See? Seek the Lord. All you meek of the earth who have executed his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. Now this leads into the next one that we'll see here, which is righteousness. So you have to seek these because they come from God. It may be that you shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, you know, with all the things that are going on right now, a lot of people, you know, they're all wanting to get arms and weapons and protect themselves and things like this. Well, I wonder what's going to happen when all of that fails. Well, the meek will be protected. And the meek have an inheritance coming to inherit the earth. All right, let's go ahead and take a little break.